Lord with us. I know it was mentioned before. Please help us connect with you in some way so that we can truly get to know you and you get to know us, and let the Lord work through that relationship for great things. Want to say thank you to all of you that helped us on Easter Sunday. I know some were traveling, but so many of you invited your friends and family members. We actually had a great crowd, the best crowd we've had in since we've been taking notes or records. 356 here on Easter Sunday. We say to God be the glory. Amen. So thank you to all of you. I know that several of you brought your friends and family. I know one brother brought a whole host of people, probably 15 or 16. Thank you, Brother Sweet, for bringing so many people to church on Easter Sunday. After all these guests came, I said, man, we should have had a contest or something. And in fact, we have the hugest Easter basket I've ever seen in my life. We were going to give it away last Sunday, and with everything else God was doing, we never gave it away. So here's what we're going to do. We've got revival this week, special services Wednesday, Friday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. We'll give that huge Easter basket to whoever brings the most guests throughout the week. Would you just bring somebody for a miracle this week? Would that be all right? Just do the best you can. I know you won't be doing it for the Easter basket, but there's some good stuff in there. And we do want people to know what God is doing here. Amen. Luke 24, picking up at verse number 46. Luke 24, verse 46. Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, or it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I want to preach to you today, and I know Easter is over, but we're still believing in the power of the cross. Amen. And I want to preach to you for just a little bit. The cross changes everything. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, right now, anoint us and help us, Lord, to receive from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the power of your presence work in this place in a supernatural way. Let it be obvious that you have done something supernatural in this place today. We love you for it, God. We love you for it, God. We thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we honor you today. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to direct your attention to the Old Testament prophecy concerning the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is in Isaiah 53, verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I know that Easter is over, but the cross still makes a difference in the lives of people that put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe wholeheartedly that the power of Calvary is available in this house today for anybody that would need anything, if you would just put your faith in the Word of God and in the power of His Spirit. I want to preach to you from the words of Jesus when he said it was necessary for him to suffer. And I want to remind you that it was necessary for Christ to be wounded because of our transgressions. I know that sounds old-fashioned, but we're not embarrassed to admit that we need a Savior. And we need repentance. That's still a part of Christianity, amen? It was necessary for Christ to be bruised because of our transgressions. In fact, it was necessary for Christ to suffer because of our sicknesses. This world was created so perfect, but the fall of man and the curse of sin has impacted every single human being to our day. And so it was necessary for Jesus to go go to the cross for me, for you, for all of us. It was necessary. Because it's in that act that you and I can receive the transformation that we desperately need to be blessed by the Lord in the manner that he has planned. Colossians 2, one translation says this in verse 13, you are dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. And he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Amen. I tell you what, on those occasions when someone might enter in through this sanctuary and for the first time hear the message of Calvary, I never want them to sit out there as if to say, wow, I really am a sinner far from grace and I don't really relate to any of these people. They're all religious. Let me tell you, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it was necessary for Jesus to go to Calvary and die for the sins of every single one of us so that we might be delivered. And I don't know how many sins on that cross were nailed that had to do with me. I've lost track, but I'm so thankful for Calvary today. And I want you to know it changes everything. It's not just a holiday where we reflect once a year, but every day I wake up, I'm reminded his mercy are new every morning because his blood was shed. His sacrifice was made. And I have been redeemed because the cross changes everything. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, there's a passage I want to focus on for just a few moments. It's Hebrews 9, verse number 15. Speaking of Jesus, it says, this is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance that God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. I have a judge here to verify what I'm saying right now. I want you to think about the Old Testament for just a few moments and all of the sins of all those people that had the law of God but could not possibly keep the law of God. And each year they would come and offer up an animal as a sacrifice just to remind humanity that it takes the shedding of blood to take away the sins of human beings. But then the scripture shows us that Jesus, when he came, he had a new covenant or a new testament, a new opportunity for people to be delivered from their sins, for people to experience a new birth and a new life. And Hebrews makes it clear to us, it was necessary for Jesus to go to the cross. It was necessary for him to die for our sins because the God of the universe had a promise for us, had an inheritance for us. The God of the universe would look to everybody here today and say, I don't want you to die in your sins. I don't want your sinful life to destroy you. I have an inheritance for you that once you take the gift that I give you, you will have power over sin and your past will be forgiven and you will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. But in order for me to leave you that inheritance, I've got to die. Because before they can read the last will and testament of this person and put it into effect, we have to see the death of the one that died to give us all of those blessings. That's why the scripture said it was necessary for Jesus to suffer. because when he went to the cross, some of you are aware God cannot die. God is a spirit, but God was in Christ. God made himself a body so that he could live in this earth as a man, and he could go to the cross, and the man, Christ Jesus, could die for our sins. Why? So that our heavenly Father, who left us such a great inheritance as he came to this earth as a man and died for our sins, once he dies, the testament is available to us, the covenant is available to us, and every promise in the Word of God is now free for whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ. That's okay. Why don't you clap your hands as if to say, you know what, Pastor? You're right. It was necessary for Jesus to die because I was on my way to hell. It was necessary for Jesus to die because I was lost in my sin. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. God cannot die, but God was in Christ. And in Christ, he died for our sins. In Christ, he died to give us our inheritance. In Christ, he died so that all my sins could be forgiven and pushed away from my life. The cross changes everything. That's why Jesus said it was necessary. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Do you understand with me today that repentance and remission of sins could be preached anywhere at any time, but it makes no impact on the lives of people if Jesus doesn't die? It was only through the cross that the message of the gospel had the power to save lost humanity. In fact, that's why we can gather together today and not just look to Easter as though it was just a special holiday last week, and perhaps a year from now we'll focus on that again. The cross changes everything. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter what your background is. You can find hope today in the cross of Jesus Christ. You can find life today in the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a thief on the cross, and he looks to Jesus seeking for mercy. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's interesting to consider that there is no discussion of repentance or remission of sins at that moment, because there hasn't been a death yet. There hasn't been a death yet. Until Jesus died, repentance and remission of sins can't help anybody. But once Jesus died, the New Testament, the New Covenant, the new life is made available for all. I want somebody to understand today that wherever you come from and whatever your background is, the message of repentance is relevant for you today. The message of remission from sins is relevant for you today, because Jesus went to Calvary, and Calvary changes everything. And I urge you that it was necessary for him to suffer so that all of your sins could be taken care of. And if it was necessary for him to suffer, it's necessary for me to repent. It's necessary for me to seek to be baptized in his name. It's necessary for me to seek to be filled with his spirit, because I don't just want my sins forgiven. I want power over sin. I want victory over sin. And I want to live a life that is transformed by the power of the cross. The new covenant is available today. The new testament is available today. The new life is available today. Then Peter said unto them, Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I want you to know that we have access to this wonderful promise today because of Calvary. We have access to the power of the Spirit to change every life that is here because of the cross. Hebrews chapter 8, if you'll look with me, verse number 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Verse number 10, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The cross changes everything. You know why we can serve God in the New Testament very different than they served him in the Old Testament? Because when you receive the Spirit of God, he writes his law in your heart. He empowers you to obey him when we could never obey him. We can serve him like we could never serve him because of Calvary. The cross gives us access to God's grace. The cross gives us access to God's power. The cross gives us access to God's Spirit. To anybody that's here today, I beg you, don't let the story of the cross that you heard last Sunday just be something you put back in the box and push away until next year. Oh no, let there be something in your spirit that says the cross changes everything. Everything. There is power over sin. There is power over fear. There is power over addiction. There is power over depression. It is in the cross. It is in the cross. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray for just a moment? Lord Jesus, in the next few moments as we end this message and we gather for prayer, I pray that the power of Calvary would touch every single life in this building, that it would be more than just a story that we hear. It would be more than just a holiday that we celebrate, but that there would be power to change our lives forever. And you say, in Jesus' name, we read it at the beginning of this message. It's the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. He says, with his stripes, we are healed. But in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter quotes from the prophet Isaiah. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Speaking of Jesus, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Isaiah said, by his stripes, we are healed. Peter said, by his stripes, you were healed. Because the cross changes everything. Because of Calvary, all of those promises that God has made available to humanity are available for us in this house today. The cross changes everything. 1 Corinthians 2, as the musicians come, we read the Apostle Paul as he declares that his ministry was so different than just maybe preaching a sermon or going through a religious routine. In verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He goes on to say in verse 4, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The cross changes everything. Until church is not just about religion and tradition, it's about the power of Calvary. And someone can slip in on a Sunday that needs a miracle in their life, and they can hear some pretty songs, and they can hear a simple sermon, but their heart can beat, "I need more. I must have more." And in this atmosphere, we can say there is more. The cross changes everything. And if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary, you can leave here with a miracle today. In that same passage, 1 Corinthians 2, Paul goes on to say, verse number 7, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." I'm reaching for somebody right now. And you may look a lot like anybody else in this building, but right now you're going through a situation in your life or in your family, a circumstance that makes you feel like, "I need the power of God. I need the miracle that God has for me." And I want you to know, because of the cross, your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, it hasn't even entered into your heart, what God will do for you today if you put your faith in him. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've never thought much about repentance in a long time. When I was a kid, I accepted the Lord. I figured I'd check that box off." Let me tell you, the cross changes everything. This is a great day to say, "Jesus, search my heart and see if there be anything in my life that doesn't please you, and forgive me. Give me a new beginning, because your mercies are new every day. Let me walk out of this place with power over those same temptations and struggles that made last week or the week before, or even some season in my life, such a horrible season, because of what I felt trapped in, because of what I felt addicted to, because of the struggle that I can't break free from." The cross changes everything. What about that person that might be here right now, and you've got the evidence, the doctor's already told you it doesn't look good, but you could agree with me today, the cross changes everything. And in a moment when we come, you can slip in with this congregation and stand at this altar and say, "Jesus, I believe in Calvary, and I believe in the blood that was shed, not just for my sin, but for my sickness. And I believe that you will heal me today by the power of Calvary," because the cross changes everything. Would you stand with me right now? I want our altar workers to come very quickly. Those of you that have faith to help us pray with people that have needs, just come and stand along the front of the altar area here. Get ready to pray with brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends. And let us pray with faith, believing the cross changes everything. I know it's just another Sunday. It's not a holiday Sunday. It seems like all the fanfare was last Sunday. But let me tell you something. The cross changes everything. And so I ask you, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, what do you need today? The cross changes everything. What is your greatest fear today? The cross changes everything. What is your impossibility today? The cross changes everything. What is your most shameful sin? That secret vice that if anybody knew, you would feel like they would reject you. The cross changes everything. What is your most serious sickness? That ailment that the doctors don't really have any good advice, and there's an uncertainty about what the next step might be. The cross changes everything. Lord Jesus, right now, I pray that you would give courage to any person in this sanctuary, that as we all come in a moment for prayer, that we will come with faith believing for the miracle that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, if there's anybody here that needs deliverance from sin, today is the day, because your cross changes everything. Lord, if there's anybody here that needs deliverance from sickness, today is the day, because Calvary makes the difference in every single life. Lord Jesus, let it be so. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. They're going to sing. If you would come, if you would like prayer, if you just want to worship, you can come if you're part of this church family, or you can come if you're a guest. You can come, and these elders and altar workers, they'll pray for you and they'll believe with you for a miracle. Everybody's welcome to come right now as they begin to sing. Would you come and pray? Would you come and believe the Lord for a miracle in your life? Would you come and trust the Lord for a special touch today? The cross changes everything. The cross changes everything today. In the name of